AgBio Science is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
This last graduating class, so the 2025 high school graduating class in the U.S. was the largest that our nation has ever seen, which is good. The problem is, for the next 10 years, that number goes down by 10%. So there's going to be less young people coming out into the marketplace. And so, again, we want to work with our partners to position agriculture and agri-science opportunities as the best opportunities for them, for their career, where they can make a difference.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. I'm Kayla Chittister, producer of the podcast, and I am here with this week's guest host, Jenna Kelsey, junior at Purdue University, and FFA extraordinaire, appropriate guest host for this week. I'm going to give a shout out to Vice President of Agrinovus, Libby Fritz, for this recommendation. Very, very, very appropriate conversation for you to have this week. Jenna, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
Before we dive into the conversation you had with Scott Stump, CEO of a national FFA organization, you have to give us a little color on your FFA resume, because it sounds like it's pretty extensive.
Yeah, I absolutely loved my time in FFA. I started in seventh grade. I'm actually a fourth generation FFA member. So it started with my great grandpa. My grandpa, my dad, now myself, and both my siblings. It's a family ordeal for us. We really are into FFA. I've really enjoyed it. It's definitely grown me into the person I am today. I had the blessing to serve as the 2022-2023 Indiana FFA State Southern Region Vice President. So I took a gap year in between high school and college before I started at Purdue to spend a whole year doing FFA. So I really loved it, loved that experience, and am now at Purdue and loving every minute of that as well.
Well, that explains then why Scott said before we hit record on the interview, I'm a little nervous to be interviewed by a Kelsey. But you guys had a great conversation.
Yeah.
And I would say the key word that I heard throughout the interview was growth. And it feels like a lot of programs have seen growth even since your time in FFA. What surprised you most about that conversation with Scott?
I think for me, the biggest surprise was the growth into the ag bioscience space, specifically working with Microsoft. I had no idea that was even happening. So that's super exciting times for FFA members really interested in the science engineering side of FFA that is really, really growing. So that's super exciting times to be an FFA member, for sure.
You also got a chance to talk about, I think, everyone's favorite time of year for national FFA organization, which is right here in downtown Indianapolis, and that's convention. And it's coming up. I'm curious, favorite memory from your time at a convention?
That's a tough one. I am going to go with two. So my first one as an FFA member, I had the blessing to serve as a delegate, one of the 400 some that get to vote and decide big changes for the FFA organization. So that experience, I got to room with one of which turned into my college roommate. So we're really great friends. That experience was amazing. I really felt like I had left an impact on the FFA organization through that opportunity. Now my favorite memory of the National FFA organization, we get to host so many chapters at our family farm, and we have a barn dance with over like 3,000 FFA members that come visit. And it's a huge barn dance. They take up an entire barn of ours. That's super exciting. And it allows me to still be connected with some of the FFA members. So that's a good memory from now.
Well, I'm glad we got to kind of add to that bank today by having this conversation. Jenna, thank you so much for coming in and doing this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Please enjoy Jenna Kelsey's conversation with Scott Stump, CEO of National FFA Organization, on Ag Bioscience.
Hello, Scott.
Hello there, Jenna.
How are you today?
I am good. It's such a pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm honored to be speaking with you today, but we'll go ahead and jump right in if we're ready to go.
Absolutely.
So you've had the opportunity to impact students at every stage of your career, advocating for agriculture and ag bioscience innovation on multiple levels. If you would, please share with us your story from leading students in the ag classroom all the way to now leading the National FFA organization.
Well, Jenna, you being a multi-generational FFA member and ag ed student, share that with me. And in fact, I'm a second generation ag teacher. My dad taught 37 years in Northeastern Indiana and was a big part of the fabric of Indiana FFA and ag education. And I tried to rebel against that and said, nope, I am not going to be a teacher. So when I graduated from high school, I went to Purdue in biochemical agricultural engineering, which really would have led me down the path to be more heavily involved with the ag bioscience scene as a true practitioner. But then I spent a year as a state FFA officer, and like you, was in classrooms all across the state of Indiana. And that's where I found my purpose, and that purpose was building people. And so took that time to go back and switch to ag education, graduated from Purdue, taught in Manchester, and then went to work for National FFA the first time. And since then, have worked at the national level for 14 years at the state level in Colorado, building programs there, not just in ag ed, but all of career and technical education. And then that ultimately led to a time during the 45th, President Trump's prior administration as the Assistant Secretary for Career, Technical, and Adult Education at the U.S. Department of Education. And all of that prepared me to then come back to National FFA as the CEO for the past 4 years, and I'm absolutely loving it.
That's amazing to hear. I also agree that that year as a state officer is definitely life-changing, and you get to experience so much of the state and really grow your passion for FFA. So that's amazing to hear. But FFA, as we know, is an iconic brand, one that is very synonymous with young leadership in agriculture. So for someone outside of the organization's day-to-day, what exactly does the National FFA organization do, and who does it exist to serve?
FFA grows leaders, and National FFA's role in that is first and foremost supporting our state associations, which we have, all 50 states, and then the territories of Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia. And so we have 53 associations that we support and really help provide the network and the framework to ultimately allow them to work with the 9,407, as of this past year, local FFA chapters that are in schools. And I think for some of the listeners that may not be familiar with agriculture education and FFA, FFA can only exist where there's a state-approved agriculture education program in the school environment, because we are, as FFA, integral into that classroom experience. And we start thinking about what happens then with that model of having classroom learning, having FFA really building the leadership and the employability skills side. And then we also ask students to have an outside of the classroom experience, whether that be a work experience for someone else, or a business, or starting their own business as an entrepreneur, or doing research in the agri-science research pathway, or even service learning. We want students to actively put their learning to work, because our motto clearly starts with learning to do by doing to learn. And so we really believe in that model that, you can read about a lot of things, but the only true way to grow as a leader is to practice it. And we ask students to do that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think the intercurricular model of FFA is one that's very unique. And I think that's why it's so impactful. That's amazing. So across the country, how have you seen the makeup of FFA students and participants evolve over your career?
Over my career, let's go back to when I started in ag education in the early 80s. And there will be some in the audience that might remember that time, but agriculture was actually in a very difficult time economically. We had a lot of farms that and ranches across the country that were flipped financially into a place that made it difficult to continue. And our membership for the second time in its history. So the only other time that FFA membership declined was during World War II. As young men were headed off to serve their country, which I'm so thankful for. But the second time it declined was during the 80s with the farm crisis. And so by 1990, we were at about 433,000 FFA members across the country. Today, we are at 1,042,245 young people that are actively engaged in growing themselves as leaders, developing themselves personally, and setting themselves up for career success in the industry of agriculture. And with those numbers, Jenna, I would say that we represent the broadest swath of the American experience. As you look at, about 60% of our programs are in rural areas, but 40% of them are in urban areas, from Chicago to Philadelphia to Kansas City, all across the nation. In fact, I was just at a chapter certifying or chartering ceremony in Texas, in Prosper, Texas, on the southwest side of Dallas, right in the suburbs. But huge interest in plants and animals and things that are growing, and young people are engaging and getting excited about where their place is in this future of agriculture.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear. It's definitely opens a lot of doors to some future careers that I feel like students maybe don't understand before they get involved in FFA. But as that membership has kind of changed, how have the members sparked change within the organization, seeing the membership grow and the different communities getting involved?
Yeah, well, we see students sparking change, each and every day. I was blessed to be able to go visit the Hawaii FFA Association a couple of years ago, and visiting Waipahu High School. The tour guide for the day was a young lady by the name of Stephanie. Stephanie was doing agri-science research, and she was doing basically taking water samples out of the tributaries coming down off the mountains on Oahu by processes that I don't understand or know, which I tell you, a lot of the students I hang out with make me feel like I was a slacker when I was in high school. But Stephanie would take and with a centrifuge out any genetic matter that was in the water. And then take and look at that genetic matter and be able to identify fish species that were in that tributary. And what she was looking for was the native species, the species that really were indigenous and were the ones that they wanted to be there, and actually found some that they didn't believe were still in that tributary. And then her next step was to go back and then say, how do we change the habitat to incentivize that fish species over the invasive species that we don't want? Our young people in ag education and FFA, our FFA members, are solving incredible problems, and I'm excited to see how they're going to change the world.
Absolutely. It's very impressive, the projects these students are working on and the supervised agricultural experiences they're also a part of as well. Developing young leaders for the future also means that you're listening to industry partners, the talent needs they have today and the needs they'll have in the future. What do you hear from leaders across ag bioscience on the headwinds they're facing in terms of talent and workforce needs?
Yeah, so we do have a wonderful group called our Sponsors Board that's made up of about 38 of our largest corporate partners. And then even beyond that, the other both association groups and commodity groups that we're visiting with, what I hear from all of them is that we're currently in a war for talent. That as we look at across the landscape of the U.S. And globally, that there's a shortage of expertise and talent across all industries. In fact, I looked at it, and there's a survey called the JOLTS survey, Job Opening and Labor Turnover Survey, that says that right now there's 7.4 million open jobs in the United States. So as we look at filling that pipeline, our job is to ensure that we catch young people early and get them connected. Because they're going to have other options and going to be considering other places to put their talents to work. We want agriculture to be their first and best choice as they work through that system. The Purdue study that every 5 years looks at the talent that's needed for the industry of agriculture and what the kind of the supply and demand, they call it, notes that, for every one graduate, there are two open jobs in our industry across the bioscience space in particular, across the ag tech space, which is emerging more as we move forward. And our goal is to work with our partners in both 4-H and Ag Future of America, AFA, to make sure that pipeline is full and has the employees that it needs. One other thing that I would throw in there just for the listening audience is that we also know that this last graduating class, so the 2025 high school graduating class in the U.S. was the largest that our nation has ever seen, which is good. The problem is for the next 10 years, that number goes down by 10%. So there's going to be less young people coming out into the marketplace. And so, again, we want to work with our partners to position agriculture and agri-science opportunities as the best opportunities for them for their career where they can make a difference.
Absolutely. And I can think of no better organization to get students prepared for a career in agriculture than FFA. We're going to go on a quick commercial break. Ag Bioscience Podcast is supported by the Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of healthcare has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to the Ag Bioscience Podcast. So Scott, how will agricultural education needs to shift in the future to meet industry needs when it comes to talent and workforce? And what will we have to do to evolve that?
Great question, and actively working on that. In fact, when we start thinking about evolving, one of those spaces the delegates actually voted on, and so those that don't know, we are a student-led organization. And so we have, yes, a board of directors that is the governing body, but in our constitution and bylaws, our delegates, which are our student delegates, 475 of them gather annually to make decisions on behalf of the organization. And one that was made a couple of years ago was to follow the reauthorization of Perkins, which Perkins is the federal funding stream for state and local use within agriculture education. But it took the opportunity to begin with focusing in on agriculture as early as fifth grade. And so our delegates allowed for that to happen as well with FFA membership. And so expanding earlier was one of the biggest things, I would say, Jenna, that we've done in the past couple of years to invite young people earlier into the experiences with plants and animals and living things to really see how they could be a part of that future. You know, we will always be rooted in the basics of agriculture because it begins with an essence of life, whether that be a plant or an animal, and then figuring out how we continue to support that life through its productive phase. I will say that that will begin to always be the basics. However, where we're headed is this expansion around growing in technology. And one of the things that I'm giving as an example is our work with Microsoft. And when Microsoft first partnered with National FFA 6 or 7 years ago, there were lots of people asking the question of, would that big tech company be involved with an agricultural-based organization? Well, they see the future of where agriculture is headed. And when you think about the sensing equipment that is on most of our large, whether it be agricultural production equipment in the row crops or the specialty crops, or even our operation here where we've raised cattle for many years, being able to put video monitors in the barn so that when calving happens, you are ready to go. All of that technology can be used to apply and enhance our production practices, and our students need to be exposed to them early. And so with Microsoft, we just doubled the number of FFA chapters and ag ed programs that now have access to what we call Farm Beats. And that Farm Beats is a little, in essence, computer board, a small one that has a place to plug in different sensors, whether that be temperature, sunlight, heat, an array, and allows them to use that in applications in greenhouses or out in fields to gather data and then be able to make decisions based on that data, and allows them to actually to use AI and machine learning with the cloud to make sense and meaning and make decisions. And that's ultimately what we think the vast majority of our students will be doing in their careers, is becoming AI enabled. And so we're really working to make that happen early.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear. And getting students at a young age exposed to that different career path is amazing. I actually was part of the delegate body that helped vote on that. So that's kind of a fun fact. That was a cool part of my FFA experience as well. So,
well, and so to give you the report on that one, before that, we were sitting at around 90 to 100,000 young people in those middle grades that were participating in FFA. We just passed 180,000, 190,000 this past year. And so there is a demand for young people of that age to get interested in an early start into FFA.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I would have taken advantage of that if I had had the opportunity. I started in seventh grade and loved every minute of my time in FFA. But with that, there's so much value in getting experience early, especially for students who maybe don't come from a family farming background or are close to agriculture. How do you see experiential learning as a tool for students? And are there any success stories being put into practice right now?
It is the one thing, Jenna, that differentiates us from any other learning model, is that we ask our students to have an outside of the classroom experiential learning, a learning experience outside the classroom. And so as a part of that, I would just tell you that in my generation, probably 50 to 60%, probably closer to 70% of individuals had some form of work experience while they were making their way through high school, whether that be at the quintessential fast food restaurant, Pizza Hut, McDonald's, or at a retail operation. All of us had some kind of job. Today, your generation and younger, only one in three high school students have any kind of work experience before they graduate from high school. And that is concerning to me because it doesn't allow them to get a sense of what is out there when it comes to roles and jobs and employers that they would like. It also doesn't expose them to the wide array of careers that exist out in the world. And so we know that through our data that FFA members, about 52% of them are currently out. So one in two, much better than the general population, are out actively engaging in some form of out of the classroom work experience. And we've got to continue to push and increase that number. But many of those experiences are introducing young people. So like through the AgriScience Fair and the AgriScience SAE based awards, we invite students to consider an agronomic or an ag issue and problem, and then work to solve that. And so as you work your way through the different projects that are out there, they're looking at different ways of treating pests in agriculture environments. They're looking at different ways of promoting animal health, and they're solving some big problems early. And we are so excited to be a part of engaging them in agriculture in a way that they wouldn't have if they wouldn't have the FFA experience.
Absolutely. That experience, I think, is very valuable. I know for myself, my supervised agricultural experience is the reason I chose my major at Purdue that I'm studying currently, and what I will be deciding to do after I graduate is absolutely due to my SAE experience. So it's been very valuable for me and so many of my FFA friends that I've gone through college with. So I definitely think it's an important part of the whole experience. But it's a super exciting time here in Indianapolis as we're about to welcome a party of over 70,000 FFA members at the National FFA Convention. So can you speak to the importance of this event each year and what it means to convene these states and chapters from all around the country to learn, share, and connect with one another?
It is the Super Bowl of youth and agriculture and all things good. And for those that have not experienced it, it is for many of our members, truly a life-changing experience. And I would say for many of our special guests that come and get put into the midst of so much energy and so much passion and so much hope for the future of our industry and the future of our nation and our world. It is one of those places to get absolutely renewed. And yes, we'll have about 70,000. We'll have, in fact, we certified the highest number ever of teams and individuals from each of the states that are coming to compete and show off through the career development and leadership development events, the skills and competencies that they've gained in agriculture to prepare them for their careers and crown national winners in each of those areas. We also, Counselor Jenna will be having the highest number of American FFA degree recipients that we've ever had, and we'll award over 5,100 students their American degree. And for those listening, those individuals, it doesn't come lightly. You have to have earned
Absolutely.
Them productively. Well, you know this. You have to be able to document that you've earned and productively invested over $10,000, that you have completed 50 hours of community service, that you've completed so many leadership activities and growth opportunities, that you have completed the sequence of study in agriculture. It is a rather significant list and hurdle to do, but 5,100 of our students will be achieved that, and we're so looking forward to celebrating with them on Saturday morning at the end of convention their achievements.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge accomplishment. I know I will be in attendance. My younger sister actually is getting her American degree, so I'm excited to cheer her on. And it's always, I only live 30 minutes south of Indianapolis, so it's super fun to see all the blue corduroy that comes and invades the Indianapolis area. So that's super fun.
Well, I would say convention too for me is one of those where, and I first went to convention in 1981 in Kansas City, Missouri, which we're getting ready to celebrate our 100th anniversary. And so we will be doing some events in Kansas City, and I look forward to going to Municipal Auditorium. But for that first time when the officers went through opening ceremony And even though it was only 9,000 in the arena at the time, and, you know, in Lucas Oil, we'll have 25,000. So it just continues to be big. But when the president taps the gavel and says, FFA members, why are we here? And there is a unison stand and deliver that says, to practice brotherhood, honor agricultural opportunities, responsibilities, and develop those qualities of leadership which an FFA membership possess. To be there in my brand new corduroy FFA jacket as a freshman and to say those words with 9,000 other people allowed me to have a sense of belonging and that this was a place and that agriculture was a place where I could make my mark. And that's what I've been blessed to do the rest of my career.
Absolutely. I think nearly every FFA member that attends National Convention remembers that moment as a highlight when all those members stand up and say that together. Absolutely. With that, this is an incredibly interesting time for young students, as we've talked about, to explore their opportunities in ag bioscience. As you examine the work the National FFA is doing today, what do you believe are the biggest opportunities for National FFA in the future?
You know, the opportunities there to leverage technology and get along in partnership with our states and our local teachers to have the capacity to equip students with not just where agriculture has been, is today, but equally important where we're headed in the future. And there are big problems to solve. And to me, the exciting part is that, Gen Z and Gen Alpha, of which you would be a part of, seem to be born just looking for a problem to solve. And so I think there's a hunger in these generations that if we can feed that and provide them with the right experiences that connect them to the right understanding of where they can apply their talents, they are going to be the generations that come up with how do we ensure that there is enough safe and abundant food to go around for a growing planet, that are going to be the ones to solve the big water issues of how do we make sure that there's enough to both grow plants and to take care of the humans that also rely on that consumption of water. And so I look forward to what your generation has to offer. Our task is to connect them to the right learning opportunities like Farm Beats, the expo at convention, connecting them to the companies that are on the forefront and the cusp, and allowing them to engage in conversations about where this industry can go, and get them excited early, so that they find their place, in this industry.
Absolutely. I cannot wait to continue to watch the National FFA organization grow. But with that, what is on the horizon for the National FFA organization as a whole?
Yeah. So we've already talked about middle school expansion, working intentionally to create not just the same experiences for middle school, but a set of scaffold with experiences that allow a young person to engage early and age appropriately, but then work their way into a growth experience throughout that whole scaffolded experience into high school and beyond. The second one is we're leaning heavily right now on leadership, character development, and with those, actually badging and credentialing so that, like for the American Degrees recipient, your sister this year, she'll have the opportunity to receive a digital badge that can go on LinkedIn through Credly that highlights what she achieved through that American degree so that when a future employer or someone else looking at it goes, you got your American degree. What does that mean? It immediately provides that information in the moment so that it adds value to the tremendous work of the FFA advisors locally, the state leaders, and the national staff in delivering talent for the industry of agriculture. And then the last one that we're excited about is really the 100th anniversary. So in 2027, in Indianapolis, we'll celebrate our 100th convention. And then in 2028, we'll officially celebrate our 100th anniversary as an organization. And so when we think about starting much of that year of the 2027 will be about reflecting the impact of FFA members over our past 100 years of what difference they made in the industry of agriculture because of their FFA heritage. And then as we move through that year, we'll also then pivot to looking to the future because we've got an equal responsibility to celebrate our past and then also equip our students for the future. And so really asking those hard questions for the next 100 years, how do we make sure that we're launching in a way that continues the growth and the work that needs to happen to ensure that there is a viable talent pipeline for the industry of agriculture, including and without question, the bioscience space, which continues to grow.
Absolutely. I cannot wait to watch it happen. Well, Scott, thank you so much for joining us on Ag Bioscience. And thank you, listeners, for joining us as well. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, thank you for listening and watching. And we will see you back here next week on the podcast.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau. Produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez. Photography and design by Kaylee Verstey. Video by Darren Cooper and 1898 Creative. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, listen, and review. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience online at agrinovusindiana.com.